Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa with John Jansen. Heather Park with the day off. We have Gov and Greg. Don't worry, Heather still make her picks. Kick our asses 6:35.
Yep.
John, you've asked that Chris Villar stick around.
Yeah, I'm just curious. We've piled on your back for a few days now. Now that you have the upper hand for a day, your thoughts of the Tigers going to Cleveland on Saturday, Cleveland taking on Tarek Skubal, who it's undecided right now.
Yeah, weird. How does that feel, huh?
You like that? Take that. What's your thoughts on Saturday?
You know what, John? I'm taking the high road. I'm humble. I'm content with what happened last night. No gymnastics. No need for any insults or bragging, anything like that. I'm still terrified of Tarek Skubal.
I don't know if they can actually take
him down or not, if they can keep it tied and not let Kerry Carpenter hit a three-run home run if he's healthy. Then right. That would be great. But you know what? I'm kind of coin flippish.
Is it tomorrow?
I'm not going to lie.
Is it Matthew Boyd?
Probably. I can't imagine it wouldn't be. I don't know why it's undecided, to be totally honest with you, but it seems like it would be Boyd. But you know what? Like, I don't know, man. Like, Skubal is such a monster. I can't even sit here and say that I would feel any sort of confidence that they're going to put up some runs against him. I didn't think they were going to put up any runs last night. David Fry shocked the hell out of me by putting that ball in the seats. Good for them. Emmanuel Clase got some redemption. Yeah. Cleveland fans get to hold on to a little bit more hope and think, really don't want to go back to rooting for my football team. That is not a good time. So, please.
Well, I wasn't going to bring up your football team or your quarterback, but
yeah, we're good on that.
Are you?
Yeah, we're fine.
John, I think it's incredibly telling that Chris isn't flapping his gums today. It's because of Skubal. And I feel like we did this show on Monday. The Tigers lost a game in this series. People got really angsty and panicky.
Yeah.
I still believe the Tigers are winning this series.
I do too. Much like when we were talking to Chris there about, you know, his apprehension of not being too excited, you know, keeping a level head. I understand that. But does it get any better than a game five of a five-game series? I would like to be home, but we had 2 days of an epic experience downtown, and now it comes down to the fifth of a five-game series to decide who moves on to play the evil empire.
It's lousy because you wanted to win and set Skubal up to pitch game one of the ALCS.
Yeah, but it's playoff baseball.
Right. Having said that, they didn't win last night. You get Tarek Skubal in the must-win game. You get the best pitcher in the universe. I'm not panicking. I said yesterday, they're winning this series. You said yesterday, they're winning this series. It makes people uncomfortable. They didn't lose the series last night. I feel like I have to break in with the news. They didn't lose the series last night. But they did lose the game. And let's talk through it. What went wrong in that baseball game, John?
Well, I honestly think there were some base running mistakes. There were some things here and there that went wrong. I think that the Indians just played better than them yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, the Tigers are as good of a team as Cleveland. We know by individual players that's not the case. But they have played well enough to win this series, and obviously they belong in the postseason. I just think that they ran into a guy in, you know, that we've been waiting for him to go off at some point, Ramirez. And it was a ticking time bomb. And then all of a sudden, it happens in game four. There were other players on that team. I didn't think they were going to go scoreless since the, what, sixth, or was it the sixth or the seventh inning of game one?
It was the sixth because they only played two innings, the seventh and the eighth on game one because they had the lead. Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't think they were going to go scoreless since the sixth inning of game one.
Yeah, they wouldn't go
kind of remarkable that it was 3-0 in games two and three.
But there were little moments that came back to bite the Tigers yesterday. Like early in the game, you have bases loaded, nobody out, sack fly, scores one, but then Torque gets doubled off second base. And what could have been a more fruitful inning, a game where runs are going to be a premium, you feel like you squandered some chances. Runners left in scoring positions, been a theme all series. But then you do wrestle a lead late in the game, right? Perez, this one drops not in Kwan's glove this time, but a bloop gives the Tigers the lead. And AJ, I thought, played it correct, getting Bo Brisky into the game. Righty against Fry. Extreme splits. AJ's got the right guy in the right spot against the right hitter, and it's the wrong pitch at the wrong place, and the ball leaves the ballpark, and now you're trailing. AJ uses Jobe for a second inning, and he goes, well, we were trailing. Well, here's the problem, AJ. You're still within one run, and because Jobe stayed in and didn't get much swing and miss and gave up a couple hits, Vest has to come in and they squeeze an extra run. The run that ends up being the difference in the ball game. Should they have gone to Vest in the ninth? Yes. Makes sense to me. They should have gone to Vest in the ninth. There's just little things that feel like in a game that's going to come down to one run in low scoring postseason baseball games, they had a couple things that came back to bite them.
Yeah, the decision to go with Jobe in the ninth, to start the ninth.
Yeah.
I didn't have any issue with him going in the eighth, but when I look at what he did, you know, I just feel like Vest is the guy that comes in and just absolutely throws smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Could have gotten you out. Now, they didn't have the lead, but and who knows what happens after that?
But
who knows how the Guardians play it?
But you have to play to keep it a one-run game.
Right.
You can't go, hey, we're trailing, so we're just going to let Jobe pitch to pitch. That's the second inning for him. He's not a starter for the postseason. You'd be very careful going extra multiple frames with Jackson Jobe, and you're right, Vest was the better arm. You have an off day the very next day. I'm not really concerned if Vest throws
today and Saturday.
Right, yeah. Right.
And just one extra batter, because it would have, you know, we think it would have been three batters.
Right. AJ did speak about that. We have that audio. AJ on the decision with Jobe versus Vest late. By the way, beautifully executed squeeze play by Cleveland. Yeah. I don't want that to be lost. It had to be done just right. And Fry, guy who had already hit a home run, they ask him to squeeze and he executes it perfectly. But to AJ's point, we're trailing. I don't care that you're trailing. Use your best pitchers. You got an off day the next day. Jobe is going to come up. And yes, while he's initially going to face the bottom of the order, Kwan was due up in the inning, who's been killing them in this series. And if they get anybody on base, it sets up Fry, Ramirez, etc. I disagreed with using Jobe there. It's really the only thing I would say, though, because I thought he got Brisky in the right spot earlier in the ball game, and it's not his fault Brisky missed the spot. He was up 0-2 and fell behind and gave up a bad home run.
Yeah, and Kwan has been killing him. Fry coming in to hit the home run against Brisky, as you mentioned, like that was a bit of a shocker.
That's the biggest play of the game to me.
And there's no question.
And AJ made the right decision for the biggest play of the game.
Yeah, and because that puts them up 4-3, right? They're leading 3-2 at the time. That puts them up 4-3, and it puts them up for good. But I think the biggest question, the only thing that I would question, and I have a hard time doing it because it's basically in Hinch we trust, that whether it was his gut, whether it was analytics, whatever it was that he thought Jackson Jobe would be okay to start the ninth, I disagree. However, I don't have AJ Hinch's experience or pedigree.
He's built up a certain amount of cachet in this city right now where it's not like you can get on the next morning and go, what a bozo, he blew it. But I disagree with that call.
We can't question it, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I was surprised he stuck with Jobe is Jobe has not struck out anybody in the postseason. That's and right. I find that slightly alarming. And the reason is when you get a guy that allegedly has all this stuff, comes up and nobody's ever seen him.
Right.
He usually wins the day first couple times around.
Until the batters adjust to him.
Yeah, and the fact that he's not striking out anybody bothers me to the point where I had no problem using him last night in the eighth. You were going through your bullpen. Your pitch count as a team was high. By the way, the two losses, 158 and 153 pitches thrown, two wins, 117, 131. So the Indians were working it last night like they did a little bit in game one. But the fact that Job's not striking out anybody, I would not use him tomorrow.
I don't think so either.
If you advance, you're going to have to use him, or you put somebody else on your roster. You got to make that decision. But I find that a little bit alarming. I just think I don't understand why they didn't go to Vest in that spot. It's not something that you guys said you're gonna get, we're gonna fire AJ Hinch or anything like that. No, I don't think it's a Monday morning quarterbacking either. Well, in hindsight, you should have done this or that.
In the moment you don't go Job a second inning.
No, I was surprised.
It's a one run game, and I know you're trailing. And AJ's point is, and I think in his mind, trailing is different than leading. But in a one run game, you have to treat it as though you're winning because right. You can't give up any more runs in a tight game.
At the break, I thought, and I told Jack at the time, they're going to bring in Vest.
Yeah, you had Vest. That's part of it, too. It's not like you were going to Montero.
Right. He had been warming up.
You're not making a change to make a change. You're making a change to go to the better pitcher, the proven pitcher.
Correct.
And that's because Job got by in the eighth. I just thought, man, I don't like this at all. And that was a costly run. Yep. You don't know how Class A pitches, by the way, though, if it's a one-run game either.
Oh, and we do need to update that. Class A update, heart not ripped out, very much still in his chest. Five outs. He's throwing 101 cutters. And I'm telling you, being at the ballpark, I don't know how anybody ever hits this guy. It's unbelievable. It's gone in a blink.
I don't know. Ask Kerry.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's the other story, right? Kerry Carpenter hamstring.
That's a big one, yeah.
I don't know if he plays on Saturday. It's very much up in the air. I'm not blaming Hinch for the game. I'm not. I think I disagreed with his ninth inning decision. I would point to Torkelson. I'd point to Brisky. I'd point to a bunch of little moments that came back to bite him. Having said that, Scooble, Saturday. We're good. It's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Don't panic. Take a text, phone calls, 248-539-9797. It's 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history. Listen, you could use a splash after last night. Wake up a little bit. Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience. It's built for us. It's built for the sports fan. Six pools, three different levels. Massive 40-foot tall, high-definition screen. Need I say more? It's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football, playoff basketball. Playoff baseball, you got basketball and hockey coming up. Watch it all at Stadium Swim with the swim-up bars, the Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. Game day spot could be a cozy daybed, private cabana. Either way, lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. 365 days of sports, poolside, Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. It's Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, what went wrong? 248-539-9797. You wake up today, series still on. Far from over. Tarek Skubal takes the ball Saturday, 8:08 in Cleveland. Another must-win game. I feel really good about Tarek Skubal. Series still in Detroit's hands.
So what did we say about this series when it began? And I know that we were bullish, more bullish than most after the Skubal win. And then we had another win here in Detroit. So we're looking at, okay, we got the 2-1 lead. But coming into the series, what did we say? You got to split in Cleveland. That was a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to take at least, we'd love to win at home, but you got to take at least one at home because what do we have? A Skubal start on Saturday in Cleveland. And if it goes how we think it'll go, it is a rematch of the pitching showdown that we saw the last time they were in Cleveland with Tarek Skubal for Detroit, Matthew Boyd, good buddies off the field. We talked to Skubal after that game, and he talked about how much he meant to Matthew Boyd, meant to him, and they were walking out, not talking about anything other than how's the family. I get all of that stuff, but they did what they had to do. That was one in Cleveland, get one at home so that you can, you know, in your back pocket. Now, it doesn't set up great if they win for the ALCS. Yeah,
he probably wouldn't pitch until game three, probably.
But you want to get there.
Got to get there. No better guy to send to the mound in all of baseball than Tarek Skubal. Ticket text coming in. I asked a question. What went wrong? Not getting a hit with bases loaded and no outs lost them the game. Their bats are ass. That was the second inning. And I think that's people's fear with Skubal on Saturday is he doesn't hit. And they didn't hit for him. And Kerry Carpenter might not hit at all based on that hamstring injury. Texter says, please don't push the narrative best pitcher on the planet going for us. We need Green, Meadows, Vierling, Keith. They need to get going or it won't matter. Shaking my head.
Well, what have we said? We haven't said that their bats have been great. We've said that their bats have been opportunistic. And what did they miss? They missed a great opportunity with bases loaded and no one out. Like that was the game.
Great season, Tigers. Unfortunately, it's over.
Oh, really?
Cleveland bats warmed up. Yeah, we have the ace, but we can't rely on one man to save the series. On to Lions football.
Well, the Lions will play on Sunday, and we'll talk more about the Lions. It's a great game. I can't believe we haven't talked much about Detroit versus Dallas on Sunday because we've been so consumed with baseball.
Both will be discussed at length today. Another ticket texter says, bases loaded, no outs. That's where the game was lost. One freaking run. You let Bibee off the hook twice in that game.
Yeah.
He was flirting with it. He wasn't sharp. He was dancing around the zone. He put some guys on. Ticket texture says Torkelson's a dingus getting picked off at second base. I don't hear the word dingus very often.
Underutilized term.
Sometimes just Rodgers hit the ball hard. He just went right to a guy, you know, too. I'm not defending Torkelson here. On this, I'm saying that sometimes, like, that was where you were going to bust it open and it just went right to their guy. Like, the ball didn't bounce their way last night in some ways. I agree with John. Overall, my number one takeaway is the better team won the game last night.
Yeah.
And the real true nitpick, a hinch, is Vest in the ninth. Torkelson, I don't know why he's taking the step.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Where are you going?
There's a runner on third. There's no advantage to having a lead there.
Yeah, that's where you play it cautious, and you're not some elite base runner. You're not horrible at a base runner. He's like an average base runner in baseball, but where are you going?
As a ticket texter points out, he doesn't have a lot of experience being on base, so maybe that played into it.
Yeah, unfamiliar with the situation.
That's my favorite text of the morning so far.
So far.
Ticket texter says, guys, call it what it was. We got outmanaged.
I think there's a little of that.
But the Vest decision, I agree, was something I disagree with. It's a mistake by AJ not using Vest. It's a one-run game. Job to face what would end up being the heart of the order. Kwon due up. I didn't like that decision. But other than that, I don't know that AJ made a lot of mistakes. In fact, the biggest at-bat of the game, I thought he got the advantage. They pinch hit Fry to face a lefty. Hinch goes to the bullpen to get Brisky, who's been the most dominant righty out of the pen for the biggest spot in the game. Brisky gets up in the count. AJ didn't throw the pitch over the heart of the plate and give up the home run. Right. AJ put his guy in a position to be successful. I think AJ made one mistake in this game. I don't know that he got outmanaged.
Yeah, well, yeah, not that huge of a word. I mean, Briskin was kind of due to have something go against him. Yeah. I mean, he's not some elite closer or something like that. I mean, he's probably outperformed what he is.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to talk about getting outmanaged, that's what happened in game three. AJ Hinch managed circles around Vogt. There's no question about it. I don't think that, and I don't think Vogt's a bad manager. I think he countered yesterday, which I felt like he would. He wasn't going to get worked over by AJ Hinch a second straight time, but I wouldn't say that he got that AJ Hinch got worked by Vogt.
And this has nothing to do with Hinch. You have to give Vogt credit for going to Class A again.
And five outs.
The TV broadcast and the radio broadcast at home here, Dan and Andy, they're like, wow.
Same with the press box, by the way. Everyone goes, wait, five outs?
Yep. Well, it worked. And so he made that choice because he would have been crucified if it didn't.
The other choice he made was the squeeze play, which they are one of the three teams in baseball most likely to do that and pull it off as cleanly as they did. You wondered if, and it's not the Tigers' MO, you wondered if they should have done that with Sweeney in the eighth. We're talking off air.
Yeah, it was pretty ironic. And I know I'm reaching here and most people probably won't agree with me, but the whole thing of element of surprise, well, they pulled it off last night, the Indians, by doing that. But I actually had the thought in real time, oh boy, Class A's in. What's the better odds here? Sweeney laying down a suicide squeeze or Sweeney getting a hit off the best closer in baseball? And my opinion is that it was Sweeney trying to lay a bunt down the third base line with Green running home and tie the ball game.
So the situation, two outs as opposed to the one out squeeze play that Cleveland would execute later.
It's all about the hitter that the Tigers had.
He's got to be a perfect bunt for him to both get on base, first of all, and then obviously score the run.
Well, Ramirez is playing normal depth. He's got to charge the ball and throw it to first or home. But my opinion is if you do a suicide squeeze, Green's already running. Right. Would it be a Cajones call?
Yes.
Yeah. But then when their manager did it in the ninth inning, it bothered me a little bit more.
It's very much their brand of baseball. AJ reluctant to bunt. And then the numbers support bunting is frowned upon, given away outs. You'd have to be able to bunt yourself on base. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know Sweeney. We just are starting to get to know Trey Sweeney. Right. I'm not sure about his ability as a bunter. I don't know if it's something that's a strength of his.
Agreed. Completely fair point on that. Look, you're not doing that when Torque's up or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
My thought is that I would think the type of player Sweeney is that he would be able to bunt.
I would hope so. I know it's not as emphasized in the game, and these guys coming up maybe don't do it as often as they but did that 20, 30 years ago.
You know, like I said, I did have the thought in real time before the Indians or the Guardians did it. It would have been it would have taken brass because he would have gotten, you know, just stoned Hinch if it didn't work.
Right.
You caught yourself, and John's already done it. If we had like a swear jar for Guardians Indians, I feel like we'd just be banking money this morning.
Yeah, there's two that I just can't get.
You said five, Greg? We've had five today?
$25.
$25. Oh,
$25. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, make it painful. It's Guardians Indians. That's the one that I'm still struggling with, and it's also the Chargers.
San Diego versus LA.
I, for some reason, I know they've been there for some time now.
The one for me is Raiders.
The Raiders,
Vegas,
yeah.
Vegas Raiders. I keep, you know.
I get Oakland caught Raiders. On that one. Oakland, LA, Vegas, like they've been bouncing around, so I could kind of keep pace with that one. But the Chargers not being in San Diego and the Guardians obviously being the Guardians versus the Indians, those are the two that I always get hung up on.
We'll have the lines open for most of the show, talking Tigers and our Detroit Lions today, who have a big game. Picks coming up next, and I know Heather's not in studio. Heather's not on the show today. Heather is off.
Yeah, she took a day off because she could lose all the picks and still be in first place.
Oh, but she made sure to send him in.
Oh, okay.
She needs to continue to kick our ass. We'll get to that coming up next, 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. And with that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. It's right in the name, All Day IPA. And here is what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, whether it's at home, at the tailgate, in the stadium, it's always there. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
How does this keep happening?
I have no idea.
Heather Park with the day off. She has submitted her pick. She's got a cool off. She's 28-14. 5-0 on an island. She's got a 10-game lead.
It's so ridiculous.
We've only picked for 6 weeks.
It's so ridiculous.
How does this happen? We're all terrible at this, and she's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Anybody have a theory before we jump in?
None of us.
No chance to think long. You think long, you think wrong.
You know what? It's really never been my problem, but I'll go with it.
Greg, take us to the board.
All right. Start off. Number one, Texas takes on number 18, Oklahoma in Dallas. Longhorns are 14.5-point favorites in the Red River rivalry. And as someone who has crossed the Red River, I will tell you, it's an unimpressive body of water.
Yes.
Oh, that's a fun fact. Yeah, I don't love laying 14.5, but I love having the edge on both lines of scrimmage. Hook 'em.
You know what? This is a revenge game for Texas because of what happened last year. I think they're going to want to put it on Oklahoma. It's a statement game. Quinn Ewers will be back. 14.5 is a lot in a rivalry, but I don't think Brent Venables' defense is going to be able to hold up against the receivers, against everything that Texas is going to throw at him. So give me Texas.
We've got sound effects for Heather Park this week. Let's go to Heather.
Of course.
That is a pick for Texas. Too many crazy things happen in this rivalry for any team to be expected to win by more than two touchdowns. OU, Gov.
I'm going to go Greg here. I agree. Same philosophy. And I truly wonder, they deserve to be number one, but just how good Texas is.
It's hard to tell in today's. Their number three quarterback.
Exactly.
All right, number four, Penn State, a 4.5-point favorite at USC. Let's start with John.
Well, I'm going to go with Heather Park's theory on this. I just can't stand James Franklin. It's no secret. I don't think he can win a big game. And I think there is something to the two time zones that Big Ten teams are going to have to adjust to. And nobody has done it yet except the Hoosiers. Really? I don't trust James Franklin to be able to crack that code. I think USC is going to rebound. And I'm going to take I'm going to take USC in this game.
Heather Park with John's favorite sound bite of his life.
Oh, she deserves to lose this game. Just deserves it.
That is one for Penn State. I know James Franklin is complaining about runway length in this game. John, you mentioned it. Let's recap the stat. In games featuring old Pac-12 teams versus old Big Ten teams, the home team is 8-1. This line started at the devil's number and is going the wrong way. USC.
Yeah, I'm going to take USC here, too. I don't trust Penn State. You guys have said the stats traveling. Yeah. That's a very strong trend in the new college football world. Yeah. And this is really USC's chance to still somewhat stay in, quote, the playoff chase. I will take the Trojans.
I hate to do this because we're going to put Heather on an island, and Penn State is definitely going to cover. And I hate to pick soft USC against the physical Big Ten team, but it's a bounce-back spot at home. It's Penn State traveling. It's the game they will miss Manny Diaz. Haven't heard his name. Their defense could face some challenges with that USC passing attack. Give me the Trojans.
What's the worst that can happen? Number nine, Mississippi, a 3.5-point favorite going to Baton Rouge to take on number 13, Louisiana State. Heather, what say you?
Is that a tiger?
That is a tiger. That was Doug Karsh, by the way.
That's amazing.
Sounds like it.
Revenge game, Baton Rouge at night, LSU. Gov.
Yeah, I'll go LSU too. Night game, home. LSU at home at night versus Lane Kiffin. look, at this is also what I would say is an elimination game. And maybe the team we forgot about that lost super early ends up being a playoff team. I'm going with LSU.
Jim.
I will also take the Tigers. It's a great spot for LSU at night. Death Valley, they've been home for a month. They're off a bye. Jackson Dart, some ugly home road splits. Seven straight football games for Ole Miss. Here's where they get got.
I'm going to go Ole Miss. First of all, it's my chance to make up a game on all of you. Go on an island. But I think Lane Kiffin, they had their loss. I think that they've refocused. They're going to be able to go to LSU. They're going to get one. And I just think LSU, I'll go with the visor.
Are you convincing us or yourself?
I'm trying to convince myself.
Okay.
But I did circle Ole Miss before I was on an island.
And Ohio State's turn in the PNW, taking on Oregon as a 3.5-point favorite. I'm getting annoyed with Ohio State being higher ranked and or favored in primetime matchups. Oregon's offensive line has markedly improved since the beginning of the season. Ducks. Gov.
I'm going to go with Ohio State here. I'm going to trust the number one defense in the country. Are they really number one, or is it because of who they played? But I think this... I'm going to give a score, so I'm really going to jinx this. 23-16 Buckeyes.
Mm. This is Big Ten Saturday night. That's right, Greg. You know what it's all about. Oregon D-line against OSU's O-line's a key matchup. I like the Ducks in a low-scoring game. Quack, quack. Give me the quack attack.
This is where I'm going to vomit on myself. I'm going to take Ohio State. And I know the stat that we just talked about, mm-hmm. Two time zones. I just don't trust Oregon to be as physical. When I watched them last year against Washington, I thought I was disappointed both times. I don't think they match the physicality, and I can't even believe I'm saying the physicality of Ohio State.
There's a part of me that's got to see Oregon win a big-time matchup before I pick them in this spot. By the way, speaking of vomit, we can't go by without last week and not mentioning the vomit that I want to spew on you for taking Michigan State and getting that dirt bag cover. They kicked a field goal down 31-7 with 25 seconds left so that you could cover on an island.
Yep, on an island. I win.
That's the visionary.
That's right.
Look at John Jansen.
That's right.
Football expert.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at? Heather, what's at UHP?
Oh. I'm making up ground.
Unless that's a weird sounding Buckeye, which I don't know what that sound that makes.
Yeah.
That's a duck.
Make it stop.
Yeah.
The two losers took Ohio State.
Yeah. Tied for the
bottom dwellers have the Buckeyes. Love it.
We got to make our move at some point.
To the NFL, Commanders are 6.5-point road underdog at the Ravens. Gov.
I can't trust Washington yet. The teams they've played, I mentioned it in the Thursday touchdown or whatever, like 6-14. You know, the Ravens, I've been trashing them a little bit, but they've salvaged their season. I think the Ravens roll the Commanders, much like the Ravens rolled the Lions last year.
Ravens defense shaky down the field. Jaden Daniels likes to take some shots. I'll take the Commanders against Lamar, who's 7-18 against the spread as a favorite of more than a field goal. This is a good spot for the Commanders.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my guys, the Commanders. And part of it is, I think... I don't know that they win this game, but I think 6.5 is too much. I do think Jaden Daniels is legit. I thought he was the best quarterback coming out of the draft, and he has proven in a short sample size to be that. I think he's dynamic. I think he can make plays with his feet. So give me the Commanders.
Here's Heather Park.
Yes. Take that.
People are waiting for the other shoe to drop on Washington and or for Jaden Daniels to hit a wall. Not yet. Manders. Buffalo laying 2.5 points at Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Jim.
You know what this is, guys.
This the bounce back game or what?
This is a home division desperate dog. It's another triple D.
Oh.
So, John, you know what you do?
You take the triple Ds.
You put them right in your face, and you take the Jets plus 2.5. You go in the face of everybody who's burying this team.
I'm getting this guy a Jets jersey. He loves it. Like, I found out in the last, 4 weeks, this is your second favorite team.
I do think it's a spot. You fire your coach. You get a temporary bounce. Give me the Jets.
Are they going to be 6-2? after the bye?
Is that even possible?
Wait, they can't be.
No. you know they officially demoted Nathaniel Hackett, Aaron Rodgers' bully. And so I think everything is a mess with the Jets. It's an absolute dumpster fire. I'm going to take the Bills because I think it's a must win for the Bills. They understand it. They're in attack mode. And without Robert Saleh there calling the defense, I think that's the bigger impact than anybody else taking over the offense. So give me the Bills.
Let's go to Heather Park.
Is this the Jets?
No.
This is the Buffalo Bills song from Silence of the Lambs. She is going with the Bills.
Oh, jeez.
Would you? I would.
I already used up my who I want to win pick with Oregon Jets. Gov.
I'm taking the Bills just because you played that song.
Lions travel to Texas as 2.5-point favorites at the Cowboys. John.
I'm going Lions. I think this is a statement game. This is a reckoning. They got a right or wrong from last year, and I don't know that it motivates them, but I think Micah Parsons is questionable. I don't know if he plays or not. They got dinged up on the defense, and I think Ben Johnson takes advantage. I think the defense is legit, and they get after Dak Prescott, so give me the Lions.
Hev. I don't buy into the revenge game in the NFL. I will hear. Plus, the Lions are the better team. Lions. Gov.
I'm going to go Lions, too. I trust them in this spot coming off the bye. And I just think if they're going to really get this thing going this year, this will be kind of the statement game that John said. And again, the Cowboys are so one-dimensional. The Lions stopped the run.
Lions
are
healthy.
And it's almost a red flag if the Lions can't contain their offense because they're not even going to try to run it. Give me the Lions.
They have not been good stopping the run. The Lions have had 2 weeks to prepare this battering ram to take down to Dallas. Give me the Lions. Get that revenge.
Did I miss Heather's pick? On
forward down that freaking field, Stoney.
Oh. Okay.
How many of you missed it, but we had it.
We did have it. All right, those are the picks. It's 97-1. All right, this time of year has been electric. It's been a decade since we've had an October in Detroit like this one, and Moran Chevrolet is knocking it out of the ballpark with some sweet deals. GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2024 Silverado, we're talking four-wheel drive LT crew cab, for $239 a month, 24 months, $999 down. Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Moran has shipments arriving daily, so whether it's the Silverado or something else you're looking to get in, they will have it there for you. Score your best deal, MoranExpress.com, or stop by in person. They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile, out in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Celebrate the Game 3 win and look ahead. I believed the series was over. And as I wake up today, I still feel like the Tigers are winning this series.
I do too. I think the advantage is the Tigers. And I don't think, even though they missed some big time opportunities.
Oh yeah, you can say that again.
If Cleveland goes with Matthew Boyd, I go back to, and Matthew Boyd's a good pitcher. I don't want to disparage him and what he has been able to do for the Guardians this season. And what he's been since he came back from his surgery. But that was a comfortable game. I know it was at home. There's a lot of things that were in the Tigers' favor. But Matthew Boyd is not Tarek Skubal. He is nowhere close to Tarek Skubal. And I would actually be a little bit surprised if they go chalk and put Matthew Boyd in there because of how it went on Wednesday. On Tuesday. Monday. Whatever they played.
One of the days.
Because of the familiarity that the coaching staff has with Matthew Boyd's arsenal.
Do you remember, and I know it's a bad day to bring this up because the Tigers were 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position yesterday, but they also got guys on against Boyd, I believe, in each of the first four innings last Monday. If people are going to say, well, Skubal can't possibly continue to be this good, I would say I don't think Boyd is going to look as good as he did on Monday. Which pitcher is more likely to make an oopsie-daisy? to leave one over the heart of the plate, to put a couple guys on and not get out of it, it's Matthew Boyd.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If they go Boyd, it actually helps that Carpenter has the hamstring issue because he wouldn't start. So it would actually minimize how much you'd miss Carpenter if Boyd is, in fact, the starter.
The counter to that, though, is whose bats do you trust more?
Well, if the choice is Carpenter on a hamstring who might not be able to play or Justin Henry Molloy, the guy who will be in his spot against the lefty, the answer is Justin Henry Molloy, and that's who AJ would start regardless. Now, your question is late in the game as a pinch hitter?
No. I'm talking about not who's going to be at the plate for the Tigers, but who versus the bats for the Guardians.
Oh, do you trust Jose Ramirez?
Jose Ramirez, Kwan, Naylor, Noel. Like,
Stephen Fry, yeah.
Whose bats do you trust more? That's the counter to, okay, yes, it's Scoobal on the mound versus Boyd on the mound, but it's Boyd versus our lineup.
Yeah.
And it's Scoobal versus their lineup. And I get it.
You're saying that evens out a little more.
Sure it does.
But it's still edge Tigers based on the market, based on the perception, based on the way that these two teams have played. I believe the Tigers are winning this series. And I'm not afraid to say it. I think that's the other thing. And I didn't hear how Gator gets weird with these jinxes. Gator had to believe they were winning this series. I just said it. You know what I mean? And you said it. We think they're winning the series. I'm not afraid to say this is the team that's winning the series.
So Scoobal tomorrow, if he's got his stuff, how long does he go?
Seven.
What's the pitch count?
100 pitches?
Yeah, 100, 105.
You don't want him to lose effectiveness. It's not about being soft. It's about you don't want to lose your edge. You got a good bullpen too, but I think seven innings.
He's gone 100. He's gone 105 and been very effective.
Yep.
If he pitches like he did Monday, 120. Would you push it?
Right until the brakes fall off?
Here's how I feel about tomorrow. I think this is just a complete 50-50 game. And trying to figure out who's going to win. The Tigers have the advantage. It's just like Monday. But the longer it goes, things sway to Cleveland. And I'm not comfortable with anybody pitching but these three guys tomorrow. It's Scoobal, Vest, and Brisky. I don't want to see anybody else, and I think that's the path to the win.
It sounds like a great recipe. If you can get, let's just say, six out of Scoobal on the conservative side, and then you go with Vest for two, and then you bring in the closer Brisky or Ender, however we want to say it, because there's no starter, there's no closer. We got openers and enders.
I mean, I don't trust Holton at this point in this spot. His numbers are not very good this series. I know he closed game three, but beyond that, it's been a little sketchy.
It does feel like you are risking chance if you put him out there.
Something or nothing. The Tigers did get runs off Cleveland's bullpen the last two games. This like unhittable bullpen. Is that something or nothing? I know the Tigers' offense is low wattage, right? You're really only hoping you can get three, maybe four runs. But they've had good at-bats. They put some guys on base. They've scored some runs even against this Cleveland bullpen. I expect them, and part of the formula is to have the lead when Scoobal leaves the game. But even if he doesn't, low scoring, this team has had a little success against the Guardians' bullpen.
They have, but I think this is one where if Matthew Boyd is the starter, you've got to put pressure on, like they did last time.
Agreed.
Every single inning, you need base runners. You need guys that can draw walks. You need singles. And hope that somebody has the ability to go yard at some point with guys on base and not just, you know, solo home runs.
You might see the Guardians employ the Dodgers strategy from the other night.
All eight bullpen or nine pitchers.
Yeah, but yeah. I do think Boyd will start. It will just be an extremely short leash. And the Guardians might be willing to go like 6-7 out of the bullpen. Almost a different pitcher inning.
It's a must-win game. It's you win this game or you are on vacation.
You know who's going to be the hero? Jake Rogers. He's going yard tomorrow.
You know who I thought was going to be the hero yesterday? Chase Young. Oh, because you can't pinch it for him. You can't block his at-bats. He had a chance late in the game to come through. He still may at some point. That wasn't me being negative. I actually really thought it was going to be like a full circle positive thing.
No, but you turn it into pure smarm.
No, Jim's point was it's going to be Costa's talking points used against him.
Yes, that wasn't me looking to get one over. That was me acknowledging I'm under. I'm losing that argument right now.
But can Cary Carpenter add to the lore that is already Kerry Bonds. If he pulls a Gibby,
oh, he's on one
comes
leg.
Comes out limping, hits one to win the game, and does the fist pump around second base, just like Gibby did against Eckersley. Now, I know it wasn't in the Tigers uniform at that time, but he's still our guy.
248-539-9797. Tigers lost last night. What happened? Why did they lose that game? But more importantly, look ahead with us. They're winning the series, right? No panic, right? We don't have to do what we did on Monday and talk people off the ledge, right? It's 97-1.